Meeting, speak, may the Holy Spirit speak to us again. Speak what is on your heart. Give us a spirit of spirit and understanding so that we can understand you. We who are asleep, we want to wake up. May the light of Christ shine upon us, shine into each one of us. Lord, you said you're seeking the true worshipers. Well, thank you. Amen. We continue to fellowship here. What the Father is seeking. This morning we saw that the Spirit is very important. Just like what Peter said, we also read that. The church, the house of a living God, it's a spiritual house. It's not a fleshly one. It's not of the flesh, and it is not what man can build. If you're not in the Spirit, there's no way. Let's go back to see what Peter said. May it be impressed in our hearts deeply. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Because God's building is 100% spiritual. Let's read it together in Chinese. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That is why the church today, although it is on this earth today, you need to see that the church is spiritual, is heavenly. It has to be built up in spirit. It's not of the flesh. It's not what man is building. Of course, we are all humans. But we have to be man living in the spirit. That is why Peter says here, We come before God also as living stones. Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself also is a living stone himself. Besides, he is the cornerstone. It's God who set him there in the heavenly Mount Zion. So since the Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, we also should be living stones. Because this building is living. This is very important. Because it's not just that we, people, are building here. If you're not living in your spirit, how can you be a piece of a living stone? Because life is in us. That is why we need to see this point. Because the place for the worship was in Jerusalem in the Old Testament days. Besides, the temple was not built with living stones. It was built with lifeless stones. Dead, not living. Now today we want to build up the temple. We must be in the spirit. The body is dead. But the life is in the spirit. Besides, it's only the spirit in us that gives life. So if you're not in your spirit today, what kind of a church are you building? It becomes a man's thing. So here Peter says we are all living stones, being built up a spiritual house. That is why the church is a spiritual house. If you're not in the spirit and I am not in the spirit, and you do not know what the spirit is about, what do we do when we come together? We just have a Bible study. We sing. What is the difference if you sing some worldly songs and you sing some so-called spiritual songs? You may say that, oh, these songs are according to the words of the Bible. They're not words of the world. Is this the only difference? Now, if you sing, you're not singing in your spirit. And if our singing here is the same as the singing in the world, is it good enough if it sounds good? If you sing it a little louder and a little livelier, then it's good enough. If you sing and you dance around, and that's good enough? No, you have to be in your spirit. Because only the spirit can contact God. Do not forget what John chapter 4 tells us, that God is spirit. That's why he who worships him must worship him in spirit. There are many people worshiping today. But whether or not they're using their spirit to contact God, that's a different matter. But if you want to use your spirit, you want to live in your spirit, you have to exercise to live in your spirit every day. Do not forget that. And you also have to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Today's sacrifice is not that you bring the herd and the cattle, and then you have a big altar here. Then no hotel would rent the place to you. People would be afraid of you if you bring your sheep and your cows here. Today we need to offer up a spiritual sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ is our spiritual sacrifice today. Besides, Peter said here, it is acceptable to God. You have to remember this word. It is acceptable to God. It's not whether or not you accept it, but whether or not God would accept it. But this is what God wants. That's why the Spirit is important. If you don't learn to live in your Spirit, do you have any other choice? So if I'm in my flesh, I'm living in myself. It is not simple at all. That is why the Lord Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, what does he have to do? Believe in me? He has to deny himself. So if you deny yourself, how are you going to live? How are you going to live? By denying yourself. If you deny yourself, then you have to live in your spirit. The meaning of denying the self means that you cannot live in your own self. If you live in yourself, how can you follow him? You live in yourself, you have your own views, your own likings. I like this, so I do this. Where the lamb wants, if the lamb wants to go this way, you want to go that way. Then what do you have to do? You have to deny yourself. So if you deny yourself, then you have to live in the Spirit. If you do not live in your Spirit, there's no way for you to follow the Lord. You're just doing what you like to do. You have your own concepts, your own thoughts, for your own profit or benefit. It doesn't work that way. And in this way, you cannot build up the church. You see, today it's so confusing. It truly is confusing. Where are you going to go? You have to ask the Lord. You also have to ask the Lord, how are you going to worship? Let's go on a little faster. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning with 21, verse 21. In whom the whole building, that's the church, is fitted together by whom? By whom? By you? Or by me? By whom? It has to be depend on him. Where is he? He is in your spirit. Because it's not like that. You're not that capable. You fight with one another. You want what you like? And I like what I like, then how are we going to be built together? Say, Dhamma likes to do it this way, I like it another way. How are we going to be joined together? Are you going to follow me, or do I follow you? We all have to depend on him. It's easy to say this, but living it out. It depends on your exercise. In whatever you do, you have to depend on him. You have to follow him. If you do not deny yourself, how are you going to depend on him? There's no such thing. Then in verse 22, in whom you also are being built together. For a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Actually, it's not the Holy Spirit, but just through the Spirit. Meaning to say that this building, for this building, you must be living in your spirit and I need to be living in my spirit. Of course, it's through our spirit and it's also through the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's why we talk a lot about building, building, building. And then we keep fighting. There's no building. How are you going to be joined together to be built up? In the end, you do your thing and I do my thing. It's very pathetic. Truly, it's truly pathetic. Then we need to ask, why is it like this? Because the building is entirely through the Spirit. It's not through man's ability. You all remember Zechariah chapter 4, the vision of the golden lampstand. The angel asked Zechariah, what do you see? He said, I see a lampstand, gold. Do you understand that? It's good that he said, no, my Lord. If you were to ask me today, I'll say, oh yes, I understand it. That's referring to the church. What does the gold represent? Oh, it's shining. It's a shining lamp. It's like this and like that. I can give 10 messages. Perhaps that's not enough. And you're going to add 2 more messages. And then you add something more. We all have teachings that we can speak of. The angel just said one thing. What did he say? Oh, that means it's like this or like that. No, no, the angel did not say that. He only said one thing. It's not by what? It's not by might, not by power. It's not by your ability. But by my spirit, by the spirit of the Lord. In the past, we have seen too much. There are many very capable people. They had money, and they had talent, and they were capable. You thought, oh, you want to build, right? How can you build without money? And there's no capable person who can, no speaker. How are you going to build? Can you? Even though you may have these things, do you think you can build? You know, in the past, we did have a person who could speak very, very well. Today we still do. But where is the building? And there's money. But the more the money, the more corrupt it is. God's building is not like this. It's fully and entirely by the Spirit of the Lord. If you don't know His Spirit, there's no way for you to build. What are you going to build? You're going to build a big building? Yes, you can do that. But God does not live there. Don't think that God will live there. Through sermons? Very good at it. In the end, people all look up to you and they don't look up to the Lord, Christ. They keep their eyes on you and not on Christ. In the end, they listen to you and they don't listen to the Lord because you don't listen to the Spirit within you. Now tell me, what does the building look like? What is being built up? Tell me, would God be satisfied? Or is the Lord there? I don't believe it. I already said it. God cannot be deceived. In the end, it's like in Laodicea. We are inside and the Lord is outside. We who are inside still think that we're very rich. But the Lord is not there anymore. He is standing outside knocking. And even though He is knocking, you don't even hear His knocking. We even think that we're doing very well, we're very spiritual, we're very rich. But the Lord is not there. That is why long ago in the book of Zechariah, there was a prophecy. Now today, the Lord reveals to us that the lampstand is the church. Now, how are we going to build? Through the Spirit of the Lord. It's only by the Spirit of the Lord. Now you say, oh, we did so much and nothing is accomplished? Yes. Something is accomplished, but it's not His thing. It's your thing. Just like the Lord Jesus told the Jews, that it's your house, it's a live waste, and He left. Just like it says that in the book of Ezekiel, that the glory of the Lord departed. If He departed, do you still want to stay there? Do not think that the Lord will not depart. If He looks at it, He doesn't like it, He's going to remove the golden lampstand from its place. And you still want to stay in there? Do not think that you were it and you will be it forever. That only works with salvation. Your regeneration. But for the building of a church, it is not like this. In the Bible, history tells us God departed many times. Not just once. Several times he left. He didn't want to be with his people anymore. He got angry. Do not think that God does not get angry. He is love. He is love. Love is only one aspect. In those days in the wilderness, God could not take it anymore, and so he moved his tent out. And those people who wanted to seek him, to find him, they need to go out of the camp when they were in the good land. The situation with Eli, with the Israelites, in those days, God did not speak to them anymore. That's why God speaking to them was very rare, very seldom. And in the end, what happened? God left. He went along with the Philistines. Do not think that the Philistines were so capable that they were able to remove the ark. It's God who could not stand it anymore, so he left. He used the Philistines to carry away the ark. It was a long period of time that was empty. The tabernacle was empty. The tabernacle was already empty. The ark wasn't there, but people still went there to worship. So who are you going to worship? The ark wasn't in there anymore. So whom are you worshiping? That is why in those days Eli heard the news and he died. And his son-in-law, his daughter-in-law bore a child, and the child died, but before she died, she named the child. What did she name the child? Ichabod. Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. Do not think that the Lord will not depart. When Solomon was building the temple, the Holy Spirit came. The Spirit came again. The glory of the God came back. But when he fell, and they became idolatrous, God's glory left once again. Tell me, how many times did God leave? Now, if he already left, what are you going to do by staying there? Are you following him or are you following man? Revelation chapter 14 tells us these group of first fruits, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Are you following the Lamb? So, brothers and sisters, if you're not in your spirit, who are you going to follow? You end up following man. You know, many people say, don't follow man. I agree. But you did not tell me how not to follow man. So you say, I don't follow man, do I follow myself? If you're not in your spirit, how are you going to follow? If you don't follow man, you follow him. If you don't follow him, you're going to follow me. If you don't follow me, in the end, you'll follow yourself. You're still following man. Actually, the Lord Jesus is also a man. But you follow the wrong man. You have to follow the man who came from above. Adam is of the earth. He is heavenly. Adam is soulish, but he is spiritual. So who are you going to follow? And how are you going to follow? If you're not in the spirit, do you know whom you should follow? That's why we want to talk about the spirit, the word of the Lord.
It's
very important. Let's have one more verse. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 16. Here it says, here Paul says, you have to walk in spirit. How should you do
it?
And you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh of the lusts against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. It's not just the lust, but it's also the flesh. These are contrary to one another. So you do not do the things that you wish. If you do not live in your spirit, definitely you're living in your flesh. There are only two options. What are you going to choose? Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Pray in a good way. Say, Lord, only you can teach us how to live in our spirit. If I am deaf in my ear, I cannot hear. Lord, come heal me. If my heart is hardened, to ask you to give me a new heart. Because you promised in the New Testament that you would take away the stony heart and give me a new heart, a heart of flesh, a soft one. You have to pray. Tell the Lord. I cannot hear you today. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to learn some more. I cannot hear you this week. Oh Lord, how come it's for a whole week I did not hear you? You have to ask the Lord. I remember 40, 50 years ago, when I got to know my spirit for the first time. Every evening I would pray. I want to know what the Spirit is about. I've been living in my mind for so many years. I've been used to living in myself, in my emotions, in my will. I would choose this and choose that, and I would make my own decisions. But now suddenly I discovered I had a spirit. Besides, it's the most important part of my being, the innermost part of my being. Immediately I had to ask, how do I live in my spirit? How can I be in my spirit and communicate with you? Thank the Lord. Gradually, week after week, I began to have the feeling within me. And the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. Very strange. And after some time, and the Word also became living. Even if I was driving in the wrong direction, the Spirit would tell me I was going the wrong direction. I didn't believe it. I kept going in the wrong direction. I wanted to go to the south, and I was driving towards the north because I didn't know the way. Well, driving is not a spiritual matter, right? I wasn't praying. I was driving. Something inside me just said, turn around. I didn't quite believe it at that time. He said, this is the right direction. I drove quite the distance. Oh, how come I got over here? The indwelling spirit, the spirit that dwells in us, is living. He will lead me. He's living. He speaks to us. Up until today, the Lord is still speaking. Thank the Lord. We really need to exercise. Besides, we need to pray. Tell the Lord, I want to be a person living in my spirit. And only in this way can you help me. Besides, who is more qualified than he? Because he indwells you. 1,000 messages cannot help you. But when the Holy Spirit works, actually, this should be a very normal Christian life. But because no one told us, and no one helped us, so we kept listening and listening and listening, and the more we listened, the more confused we got. God would not give you a Holy Spirit that is very difficult to experience. The Holy Spirit within us is there to expose what is in our heart and to shine His light into us. Unfortunately, when you're exposed, you get angry. There's trouble. There's trouble. So troublesome. It's truly like this. We have to listen. If you don't listen one time, you don't listen 10 times, 100 times, do you think you can still hear Him? Now the most important thing that you is that you have to be in your spirit. The true worshippers have to be in spirit. Now the second point. In truth. In truth. The word in Hebrew, truth and reality, are exact same word. But according to the Gospel of John, whether or not we understand Greek, it doesn't matter. Because the book of John tells us that the Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. The truth is not a doctrine. The truth is not just talking about the Bible. Of course, there's also that aspect. But in worshiping, it's not sufficient if you just understand some doctrines. In John chapter 6, the Lord said, I am the truth. What truth? That means to say, all the reality of what is spoken in God's Word, that's just me. The Bible says the manna that came down from heaven. That is a that is true. That's not false. But the reality of that, the substance of it, is that I am the bread from heaven too. What Moses gave you to eat in the desert was not the real thing. Of course, it was the physical manna, but the reality, I am it. I am the true manna from heaven. They ate of that and they died. But you eat of me and you shall live forever. He is the truth. The lamb in the Old Testament, whether it be the Passover lamb, or the lamb of the sin offering, or the trespass offering, or the burnt offering, it was just a lamb. The Lord, but the Lord Jesus is a real lamb. The lamb in the Old Testament, the blood of the lamb in the Old Testament cannot remove your sins. But the Lord Jesus came, he is the true lamb. The blood that he shed can wash away our sins. Paul said, they drank from the rock, the water that flowed out from the rock. And Paul said, that rock is Christ. There's a lot. Who is the tree of life in the Old Testament? Who gave you to drink of the water of life? The reality of this all is in Christ. Only the Spirit is reality. That is why, for the second point, in order to worship the Father, in the Old Testament, you need to bring earth offerings. You cannot come empty-handed. You have to bring your offerings. You have to bring the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering, and the heave offering. All kinds of offerings. We already read. Who is the reality of all these offerings? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we do not, if we do not know that Christ is the reality of the burnt offering, and he's also the reality of the humanity, the meal offering, that his humanity is perfect, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our peace offering, so that we could be fully reconciled to God. Otherwise, we would be fighting. Each day we would be fighting with one another. How are we then going to build? It's a sin offering and a trespass offering. Last year, did we not fellowship about this in Singapore? Without these offerings, how are you going to worship God? Empty-handed? You come empty, and you leave empty. We're used to it. We've been Christians 20, 30, 40 years. We come to the meeting in what way? We come with empty hands, with no feeling within us. What should we do? That is why the word of the Bible says that you have to fill your basket. You have to fill your basket with the offerings. The firstborn of the flock. You're not allowed to eat it at home by yourself. It's not that you can eat it anytime, anywhere. But you have to bring it to Jerusalem. We do not have such a concept. We do not have such a concept. Besides, during the meetings, we're not given the opportunity for us to bring our offerings. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says very explicitly that we're built into a spiritual house and also a holy priesthood. Now tell me, what is the duty of the priests? Besides, one is their main and most important duty. It's to offer up the sacrifices. They have to be familiar with the offerings. They need to know how to prepare these offerings. It's unfortunate that we do not have such a concept. Our brother was right. 2,000 years ago, the Father has been seeking such worshippers. Did you ask Abba Father, have you found them? Can you find such worshippers in Thailand? Can you find such worshippers in Penang? How about you, Brother Chu? How about in Taiwan? How about us? That is why in the Old Testament days, those who worship God, first of all, they had to go to Jerusalem. We'll talk about this evening. And the second thing is that you cannot come empty-handed. You have to bring your offerings to offer up. These two things go hand in hand. We'll take a couple of minutes to look at John chapter 14. The main point in John chapter 14 is the Father's house. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. The Lord Jesus mentioned the Father's house here. That is the temple. Now, when you go to the holy temple, who are you going to look up? If I go to Lei Dehua's house, of course, I'm going there looking for you. Right? Now, tomorrow, if I go to your house, who am I going to look for? I would be looking for Brother Zhang. I hope that's the case. I hope to see you and not your cat. I'll be there looking for you. Now we come to the Father's house. Who do we look for? If you look for him. You want to go look for the Father? What are you going to bring? Do you go empty-handed? Here, the Lord Jesus said, no one can go come to the Father except through me. Many times we use this verse to preach the gospel. If you don't believe in me, you will not be saved. Besides, when you're saved, you're going to heaven. Even, let's say, you would go to heaven. Who are you going to look for in heaven? You're looking for the archangel? What are you going to do in heaven? Come to the Father's house. And then he told his disciples, you have to come to the Father through me. The way to go see the Father. Besides, this way is a living way. It's a way of life. It's not a dead way. And besides, he says, I am the reality of all the offerings. If it's not like this, you cannot go see the Father. That is why the Lord said, I am the reality. The dream of Jacob in the Old Testament concerning the heavenly ladder. That was only a dream. In reality, that ladder is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what is said in John, the last verse in John chapter 1. It's not the word of the letter. The meaning of the word truth in the Gospel of John. Is that Jesus Christ is the reality, the riches of all of God's Word. To worship the Father, you need to be in your spirit, and you also need to have the reality, the offering. The Lord Jesus is the substance of all the offerings. Only this is the true worship. Learn it slowly. We have not had this habit for many years. So we hope that we can learn it slowly. It's hard to change. So I hope that we all would be patient to learn in a good way. We'll continue this evening. Let's have some prayer. Thank you.